Aminetic, can you hear me better now?
Yep, it's
Yes,
good.
Tammy.
Yes, wonderful,
Yes.
Tammy. We can. Thank you.
Great. Great.
Hi,
Thank you
Sammy.
for asking. Hi. Hi, everyone. Thank you for asking me to share this evening here, Maria. I really appreciate it. I feel it's a privilege to share in NA at all, and then especially in an illness and recovery meeting, to think that I'm actually sharing in a meeting of illness and recovery is a big, huge thing. It's a huge achievement, bit of a background, and my experience of illness and recovery. I'm coming up, God willing, for 9 years clean next month. And I've been through the rigmarole of coming into recovery and, being on medication. I'm on medication. I have a mental health diagnosis, which is an outside issue. I have two mental health diagnoses, which I've had for the majority of my life. Those were through growing up and trauma and whatever. I tend not to go too much into my childhood and things like that in the rooms. I have what is called emotionally unstable borderline personality disorder and recurrent depressive disorder. So I've always been on medication all throughout my time in recovery. I've had people in the room say that I'm not clean because of my medication. Once there are no doctors in NA, and if they were, I'm not listening to them because they're just another addict. I listen to my sponsor. I take my medication properly. I don't abuse it. Very different story today than when it was when I was out there. When I was out there, I would abuse anything I could get my hands on. I would make any excuse up to go to the GP to get whatever I needed, and that's not what it's about today. It's learning to live clean, learning to manage my mental health, learning to manage other issues that I have in recovery as well. I've had some other health issues go on recently. I've got an appointment with a consultant at the beginning of next month, and it's female, women's issues, and I'm in a lot of pain every month, and to the point where I take paracetamol and ibuprofen, because anything else is too strong and I don't want to take it. And so, I had this conversation with the consultant about 2 weeks ago and over the oh, I think over the phone appointment, and he's like, well, what about this or what about that? And I'm like, look, I'm just going to let you know flat out, I'm an addict in recovery. I've got such and such, I say clean and sober to any professionals and things like that because they don't obviously understand how we talk. And so, and I was saying, look, I don't want to take this, I don't want to take that, what I'm taking at the moment barely takes the edge off the pain. I can be up at 4 o'clock in the morning in pain and having to get in the shower to alleviate it, And so it's having that honesty. Every single GP that I've been under since I've been in recovery knows I'm an addict. My GP now is a fantastic lady who knows I'm an addict in recovery. We discuss all different options that I can have. I won't take things like tramadol, or I can't remember what the other things are called, things like that. I can't. I just say, obviously, if it got to the point where I was in a position like, let's say, a horrific accident, or is in hospital and in that much pain, or I've been told by physicians that I need to, you need to take this for X, Y, Z amount of time, I would. And at the moment, I can manage it, So I don't, yeah, cocodamol it's called, isn't it? Cocodamol. So I don't want to, because at the moment, it's something that I know that I would get addicted to. I know that, someone got their mic open. Yeah, I know I would get addicted to it. I haven't always had an easy journey in recovery with self-care and nurturing myself and looking after myself, you know, when it comes to making those doctor's appointments, making sure I turn up, making sure I get those blood tests done. You know, my loving sponsor, who's been my sponsor now for the past just over nearly going on 3.5 years, you know, really, you know, pushed me and nurtured me with her loving suggestions, you know. And if you look at the word suggestion in the dictionary, it means subtle command to, you know, have that self-care, because, you know, it was just kind of alien kind of thing to me up until like 2-3 years ago, you know. Like, I would give love and everything else to care to everyone else around me and be like, oh, you okay, this, that and the other. And giving myself that same amount, that same level, if not more, was something that I had to be nurtured into. So, you know, I turn up for my appointments today. I had a scan in Danbury about a month and a half ago, you know, which is fantastic, because I ended up having a cyst on my ovary, and, you know, once again, I turned up and it was gone. So they can apparently just go away. So, you know, making sure that I have that self-care and that I make the appointments and I go is really important. You know, I was discharged from the mental health team a couple of years ago, so I'm back under my GP. So I don't see a psychiatrist regularly anymore. I don't have a community psychiatric nurse anymore. I did, and they have their place, and they were fantastic. They really helped me. You know, I was in and out of psychiatric units for about 20 years of my life, institutionalized. And I say I was institutionalized because I didn't know I had any other way of living. You know, when I wasn't out there using and everything else, and I felt broken, and like in the basic text, it says jails and institutions can become a way of managing your life, and they were for me. The longest time I spent in one was 9 months, you know, when my kids were taken out of my care. And for a normal person who didn't have the disease of addiction, that would be a huge red flag. Oh, I need to sort myself out. Blah, 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 blah. No, I ended up finding all the addicts on the ward, you know, and we were using on the ward. You know, I was going out, buying all the legal highs and bringing them back to the ward, you know, and my friends used to get the drug dealers to deliver, the drug dealers used to deliver the pizzas up to the unit, and the, like, if they were buying weed or whatever, it was underneath the pizza. So, you know, it's mad to think that that was my life, you know. Before NA, I had no idea that I could live, you know, clean and in recovery. I had no idea that it was achievable, that it was possible. And I found the other fellowship, I found AA first, and it just wasn't clicking. You know, I put the alcohol down. I didn't know about total abstinence. I was picking up everything else, and I thought it was okay because I put the alcohol down. You know, and coming into NA and being told that alcohol's a drug just like everything else, and if anything, it's one of the worst ones out there, it's huge relief, you know. I've had so many loving sponsors in my life. Like one of them, I think the lady is about 28 years clean, and she was so loving and kind to me, you know, that she, when I told her, you know, people were saying that, you know, they think I'm not clean, and she's like, Tammy, I'd love to see him come and look after you for 3 or 4 days if you stop taking the medication. You know, like I had the professionals in my life that put me on my medication for a reason, you know. With my diagnosis, the last psychosis I had when I was out there was the worst psychosis of my life. You know, I was hearing voices, having conversations with what I thought was God's commanding me to kill people, really not in a great place, the darkest place that I've ever been in within my life, because I stopped taking my medication. And, you know, I was sectioned, I got sectioned by the police And the doctors in the psychiatric unit actually let me out 24 hours later, even though I was on what you call a section three, which is a 72-hour section. And they turn around and they said, "Oh, we think you're making this up, Tammy." You know, and I'm sitting there telling them what's going on in my head, that I'm planning, meditating to kill people, my ex-husband, and blah 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 blah. And they didn't believe me. You know, and I was let out. And about 3 hours later, the same police officer that arrested me ended up on my doorstep with two other police officers arresting me and taking me into custody. You know, I don't think she didn't arrest me. She sectioned me and then she arrested me and took me into custody. Thank God. You know, if ever that was proof of my higher power being in my life, that was it. You know, it's emotional. You know, I was what you call this constant after a little while in the cells because I was pacing the cell like a wild animal. I remember that much. I don't remember everything. And what a constant is when you have the cell door is open and you have two police officers sitting there 24 hours a day and just sitting there watching your every move, basically. And they tried to get me, like, this is how bad I was when I was out there, okay? They tried to get me put and find me a bed in a psychiatric unit in Essex. And by the time I came back into recovery, I had been in and out of every single psychiatric unit in Essex. No one would take me. That's how bad I was. No one. No, none of them would take me. So, you know, if I had proof of the jails, institutions and death, and how I ended up there was my relapse. You know, I got 18 months clean and I relapsed on the back of a relationship breakup, and how I relapsed was abusing my medication. I wasn't taking it properly. I was abusing it. That's how the relapse started, you know. So, yeah, and I ended up in the worst psychosis of my life and ended up, you know, fast forward in a cell, in court, and sitting in the docks, cuffed to the prison officer, thinking to myself, how the fuck did this happen? You know, because if someone had told me 10 months before when I had clean time, I was so full of shit, mate. I still can be, don't get me wrong. I had a massive ego. I paid lip service to the step work. You know, if someone had told me that, fast forward, Tammy, that's where you're going to be, I wouldn't have believed them. I just wouldn't have, you know. Fast forward to today, this is where I'm at. You know, I was released, walked home through town with my plastic bag full of my belongings and came back to NA the next day and have been clean ever since. You know, I hear people say a lot, oh, people have got it worse than me. People have got it worse than me. So, yeah, sometimes that can help you put things into perspective. However, I don't minimize my experience with anything. I don't minimize my feelings. I don't suppress them. You know, if I'm going through something medically, then I go through it. You know, I sponsor people today that are going through things that, you know, think they're amazing. Do I have experience with everything that they're going through? No. Do I try to put them in contact with people that do? Yeah. You know, do I advise them about stuff that I know nothing about? No. Do I give suggestions to them and about stuff that I know nothing about? No. Do I go to my sponsor and ask for her suggestions and her perspective? Yes. You know, I don't go to, I don't put anyone down, you know. I'll be like, oh, okay, well, let's look at this. What's the solution? All right, if you're doing this, you're doing that, great. You know, it's mentally, physically, and spiritually, it's about making sure I stay clean. And abstinence is taking my medication. Abstinence is because it contributes to my sanity. So abstinence is turning up for myself every day, getting up in the morning, doing my prayers and meditation, staying clean, doing service, you know, coming to meetings instead, doing the work. The biggest thing about the step work for me, which helped me, that really helped me put myself back together, because underneath all the front, the bravado, the pain, the anger, the rage, and I was violent. I was violent when I first came back into recovery. I trashed my flat 3 times. I smashed my television. I smashed glass everywhere. I was not in a good state. And the step work helped me discard a lot of stuff and put me back together like a puzzle piece. And I wouldn't be here without NA. I really wouldn't be, you know, and the loving, guiding people that I have in my life. My sponsor is amazing. The previous women that have sponsored me have all poured into me their love, their guidance, their care. You know, no one's ever judged me for having my medical issues, for having a mental health issue, for, you know, being on medication in recovery. Everyone's just nourished me to make sure I was okay and that I'm turning up for myself, you know. Oh, yeah, I'll finish on this. Had a bit of a laugh beginning of last year. I think it was over Christmas and New Year's Eve. I ended up with COVID. And my friend brought me around some Cavonia. And I looked at the ingredients. And 0.7% alcohol. So I'm on the phone and my sponsor going, crap, I don't think I should be taking this. It's like, no, it's probably not a good idea. I live today, eh? What a life I live today. I won't touch anything that's got 0.7% alcohol in it. Very different story over 9 years ago when I was out there, I'll tell you that much. You know, this has given me the ability to have my children in my life, to create a life for myself, but most importantly, have internal peace, to create a space within me for my higher power to exist. To create a space within me for peace to exist, where I get peace between my ears, where I can have peace mentally, physically, and spiritually, and all of those three things are all one. They have a knock-on effect on each other. I have good days, I have bad days. I have good mornings, I have bad afternoons. You know, I can have days where I'm like a cyclone, like a bull in a china shop. And that's okay. It's life on life's terms. I'm figuring it out and I'm in recovery today, you know. So, yeah, I just want to thank you so much for asking me to share. I hope I haven't been all over the place and I hope you got something from it. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks.